Hello, I'm Emma Desi, and welcome to another episode of Turning Readers into Writers. If you're brand new here, welcome, and here's what you need to know. This is a community that believes you are never too old to write your first novel. No matter what you've been up to until now, if you're ready to write your book, I'm ready to help you reach the end. I focus on helping you find the time and confidence to begin your writing journey, as well as the craft and skills you need to finish the book. Each week I interview debut authors, editors and industry experts to keep you motivated, inspired and educated on all things writing, editing and publishing. If you want to catch up, head on over to emmadesi.com where you'll find a wealth of information and tools to help you get started. Before we dive in, this week's episode is brought to you by my free cheat sheet, 30 Top Tips to Find Time to Write. In this guide, I give you 30 ways that you can find time to write in the small gaps that appear between the various errands and tasks and responsibilities that you have in your day-to-day life. Now, you might be thinking that you don't have any time to spare, but I can guarantee these top tips will give you writing time you didn't think you had. If you thought writing always involved a pen and paper or a keyboard, think again. If you thought you needed at least an hour at a time to write your manuscript, I help you reframe that. You won't be disappointed. Get your free copy of 30 Top Tips to Find Time to Write by going to emmadesi.com/30toptips. Okay, let's dive in to today's episode. Heather Wright is a freelance writer, writing about everything from orchids to wind turbines to weddings to PVC pipe. She lives in Kitchener, Ontario in Canada, where she taught English and communications for over 20 years, so she can analyse the odd novel and parse a sentence too. She writes for the web, for national and local publications, and for educational publishers and industry. Canadian Society for Children's Authors, Illustrators and Performers, the American Society for Children's Book Writers and Illustrators, and the Canadian Authors Association. Heather is a member of them all. She says she couldn't imagine her life without writers, watching them become motivated and empowered and reading the great work they create. As a coach, she loves working one-on-one with writers of all ages, and her clients have ranged in age from 11 up to 90. When she's not writing, Heather loves red licorice, buttered popcorn and chocolate, although not all together, she adds. She loves music, old films, and she sings soprano in a choir. And when she's not doing all of this, she's learning to sing jazz. So let's find out a little bit more about Heather, her journey to writing, and how she helps writers write their own first novel. Well, hi, Heather, and thank you so much for joining me today.
I'm so happy to be here, Emma. Can't wait to carry on what we're doing.
Yay! Well, I wonder if you could first of all start off by telling our listeners a little bit about you, your kind of journey with writing and how you got to where you are now.
My journey to writing started with Nancy Drew Mysteries. I don't know if they have those in the UK, but they're mystery stories featuring a young protagonist. She always had a new car. And they were just for kids. They started writing them in the 30s and they're still around today. And I thought that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to be Carolyn Keene. I wanted to write mystery stories. And I did, and I wrote other things, none of which were worthy of anybody seeing. We had creative writing in high school, so I was really lucky that way. And then I kind of left it for a while, studied, did all sorts of things, got jobs, worked. And one day I thought, this is silly. I really want to write. So I would write. And I started out with short stories and I had a couple of those published. And then there was another long pause. And then I had a baby and I don't know why that inspired me to think I had time to do this, but it seemed to be the trigger. And I launched myself into writing historical romances, joined a writing group, evolved from there. And then, things took a backseat again. I was teaching. It's such a busy life. And my students were writing. I always had them writing and I would write with them. And one day I just thought, you know, I've got to stop. I try to model. Like, I mean, if they're going to write, I'm going to write and share if they want to hear it. And I decided I would do, and I got a gig doing articles for a magazine that was designed for young creatives. And I wrote an article every month on writing, how to write, tips for writing dialogue, beginnings, that sort of thing, things that I had taught for years. And I got halfway through my NaNoWriMo novel and realized that's not what I want to write. I want to write this. I want to write a book for teen writers that gives them all the lessons that I've learned over the years and some shortcuts and some hands-on things that they can do. And I checked other writers' books, writing books for teens, and I didn't see anything like the one I wanted to write. So I wrote it and self-published it. And that was the first. And I just kept going. A lot of my books are nonfiction. A lot of my books are to help writers, young writers, any writers. I've written some fiction. I've had some fiction published. I just kept going. And I also added, you know, freelancing to my part-time life. So I part-time taught. And then I, in my free time, I was writing about the law and orchids and wind turbines and you name it. And I still do that kind of stuff today.
Gosh, a real mix in there. That's there. It sounds like you really write for the love of it more than anything.
It's funny you say that. A friend of mine is also a writer. And her son she was complaining about something in the car. And her son says, well, you know what, Mom, you haven't done any joy writing. And so that's a term that we continue to use, you know. What we should be doing is our joy writing. And if we don't do the joy writing, then life gets pretty grim. Yeah, we do write for the joy of it. And I think that's, if it's not fun, I mean, it's work. I mean, writing, I don't get me wrong, getting something from beginning, middle through end is work, but there needs to be some joy in it. Some joy in the thought that someone's going to read it, that you're going to help someone, that you're exploring your ideas and putting them down on paper, and that's giving you energy and clarifying things. Wherever the joy comes from, there needs to be a little bit in there. I think it's hard to get to the end without.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, my mentor says very much the same thing, but he kind of describes it as a passion project. Kind of feels that mm-hmm. everybody needs to have that little passion project that keeps you that reminds you why you're doing it. Because as you say, yes. Getting from A to B can be very hard work. And so having those little interjections of passion and joy keeps us fresh and reminding us why we did this in the first place and that it is
exactly
fun.
Yeah.
But I love that you said that you don't know why, but having a child kind of made you think, oh, that's the time to start writing. And it's interesting, actually, because that was a similar situation for myself and a number of other women I've talked to. And it's almost like having a child, starting a family, it's this time of catalyst and a life, big life change anyway. And so why not add this one extra mix into the foray as well?
And I think having a child makes you think about the future and what your, quote, legacy might be. And you think, you know, my future is this long. And if I want to do this project, or I want to write, or I want to paint, or I want to do anything, what am I waiting for? There's a limited life. We have a limited lifespan, and maybe, you know, you're looking into the future and you're sort of seeing your son graduate from college and you're thinking, what am I doing in the meantime? Maybe I should accomplish something here. That would be a plan. I don't know. It just seemed to be the catalyst for me. I just thought, yeah, I'm going to pursue this. And it started out with a workshop day with a really talented workshop leader named Brian Henry. And it just launched from there.
Yeah, it seems to be like a decision. Suddenly, for whatever reason, we make a decision that we're going to do this now. This is going to this is my time to do it.
Yeah. To make that investment in yourself.
Yes. Yes. Because it is an investment, isn't it? Even with just with time and energy, it is a big investment. So you've come a long way then since those early days of short stories. And now you help. You mentioned it before. I didn't realize that you had a background in teaching, which probably has helped you or given you this affinity with teams and understanding teams and how they work. And so that's one of the areas that you specialize in with your sort of coaching side, is helping teams to write their book. And so I'm interested if there is a difference between, and what it is, if there is a difference, what it is between coaching, say, an adult writer and a teen writer. Are there any differences? And, you know, if I wanted to encourage my daughter to write, what would be good ways of doing that?
I think the teen writers that I have worked with come to me with work. Like, they have written stuff, pages and pages of stuff.
Okay.
And they want to know how to make it better, and they want feedback on their plot and characters. And they come with all of this material. And I find my adult coaching people come with ideas and concerns, and how can I get this done? And I don't know how to write, and I don't know how to do this, and what format should this be? And they're quite dissimilar in what they bring to a coaching session, or even what they bring to a workshop. I have more, having run teen workshops and adult workshops, the teens are, they're in the middle of something, and they're keen to get it done, and they're taking risks, and they're trying to explore things, and they're sharing. And adults are, well, I've started something, and well, I'm partway through. There's a lot more doubt. My adults have so much more doubt, and that's my battle as not battle, but that's my purpose as workshop leader or coach, is to put that aside and get into story and creating and having them achieve and accomplish and meet milestones that give them confidence to keep going.
I see. So it sounds like what I'm kind of hearing is that the teens come ready to dive in. They don't have those same inhibitions that we adults do. And they sound very prolific, that they are just ready to do the job. That encouraging them to write is not the problem, actually.
They come believing they're writers. And I'm, you know, maybe I have to thank the school system for that. Somebody out there they believe they're writers. They get feedback from their friends, and their friends encourage them, and they have forums, none of which I can think of at the moment. What's something comes to mind, where they put their work out there for anybody to read. And they're quite happy to take that risk and comment on others and be involved in that conversation around writing. It blows me away, and it's very energizing.
It must be, yeah, very nice for you as the facilitator to have just, whoo, let's go for it. Let's do it.
Yeah, it is. It's very much a let's go for it. And I remember running one workshop, and everyone was so quiet. They were just like little mice. You know, to get them to talk was really something. But they were listening so hard because I wasn't grading them. Teachers grade what they do. So I wasn't grading them, and I was talking to them writer to writer, which they don't get. They get teacher to writer, teacher to student. They don't get writer to writer. And they got a ton out of that. The feedback I got on that was amazing. But they were just caught in that funny place where they just wanted to listen and do and keep going. So the energy was very different. But I've had groups where it's very vocal. As teenagers, as anyone as they can be in a
yeah it, it's I guess it's reflecting those stages of life that we're in, I suppose. When we are young and we're teenagers, or even in our early 20s, we are, much more rebellious. We're seeking adrenaline. We're looking for adventure. And then as we get older and we become parents, we start to kind of be much more cautious. And so perhaps not just in our I'm laughing at myself here because I'm a much more cautious driver, for example, than I ever used to be after I had a family. And so maybe it's just a sort of mirroring life when we're more cautious and more worry about what could go wrong with our writing, rather than when we're these young people who have our whole lives and our whole writing lives ahead of us, and we can achieve what we want.
I think that's true, and I think it has. Some of it might, depending on the age of the people, the adults in my class, some of it has to do with what younger people read. They read a lot of fast fiction. There's a lot like those 100 pages from that they can plow through very quickly. And it's story and dialogue and Zoom. And so many fantasy writers, they love speculative fiction where they can just let their imaginations go and create worlds. And they tackle that with such heart and enthusiasm. And I think adults, certainly, well, not my age, it's a bit old, but younger than I, maybe weren't reading that kind of material. So when we say we want to write a story, our models are maybe a little more confined and restricted than the ones that they have, that just seem to have so many options to do just about anything. And I think adults are wary when they're told, well, you can do just anything.
Yes, that's so true. That's really interesting that you say that, because certainly I do see that question come up quite a bit. Well, how, I'm writing a romance or I'm writing a thriller, how long has it got to be? And it sounds like because we've got all these new forms with the advent of self-publishing, we've got all these new forms. You've got your flash fiction right through to your huge, great, big speculative stuff. So we've got, 500 words? No, 50 words sometimes. Right all the way up to 400,000 words. But in my day, certainly, my example was your 300 to 350 word book, even for children, not far off that. Whereas now there's this great big mix. And I hadn't really thought about that, how with each new generation coming up, it's going to change the face of publishing and writing all over again. We thought we'd seen the biggest shift with the advent of indie, but maybe actually it's going to bring with it another shift in the face of publishing and what's out there.
Well, the freedom that indie gives you and self-publishing gives you is there are no page restrictions. Because most people read self-published books. Most people, when people start reading on tablets, there is no page count limit, because depending on the size of your font, the book is as long as it is. It's the number of flicks on the screen. And so if I want to write a romance that's 10,000 words, I can do that and publish it. Mm-hmm. If I want to write one that's 75,000 words, I can do that too. Mm-hmm. And, you adjust your price accordingly, and the market's there for a short read or a long one. And it's changed. It's changed writers, and it's changed readers, because readers can pick and choose. They can say, I'm looking, because you actually go on Amazon and say, I want a 3-hour read. I want a 2-hour read. So, hear the traffic noise. So,
that's incredible.
That was never open to readers before. And therefore, it's open to writers to say, I'm going to specialize in books you can read in an hour. on the train, on my commute, on my train into the city, whatever it is, I want to read a book in an hour.
Yeah. That's given me a new area to think about, actually. Thank you for that, because I'm still very much caught in those boundaries of what I've been told I'm allowed to do and what's the norm. So that's given me food for thought. Yes, thank you very much for that.
Well, it's something to think about, that a story is as long as it needs to be told. Mm-hmm. And writers can can tell the story the way they want to in as many words as they want to. And many will find a readership.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that world has changed a lot.
Yes. Yes.
It's changed a lot. Expectations of readers and expectations for writers have really changed. And that's a good thing. I think that's a good thing, especially for writers. It opens a lot of doors. And I mean, doors for traditional publishing are very tightly shut.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very tough world to get into. So many more are turning to independent publishing, to self-publishing. So mm-hmm. why not find those niches for your story that are out there?
Yeah. Well, talking of niches, do you notice, thinking of both your younger writers and your adult writers, do you notice any overlap? Not so much in the style, but in the themes that are written about? Do we still, no matter what age we are, do we still kind of tend to write about the same things, whether it be about love or relationships or danger, whatever it might be?
Relationships, I think, are probably top of the list. Even the ones writing fantasy, you know, they're peopled with characters who are coming together, tearing apart, lying, being discovered, falling in love. None of that's going to change. I don't think that. I think people are always going to be human, folly and whatever are still going to be the heart of every story. What I find in my adult writers, they often want to tell someone else's story or their own. Memoir is something they're keenly interested in. And maybe more so now, I don't know whether it'll change, but certainly in the pre-COVID years, people want to tell us, they find out about family members. They want to tell a story of their mother. They want to tell a story of their grandparents who emigrated and found a new life and what they went through. There's a huge interest in telling that story. Some people want to tell their own story. What they've learned about life and finding happiness or whatever it is, overcoming struggles. Those are definite themes among my adult writers. It's explaining and telling someone else's story. Mm-hmm. I mean, I still have mystery writers and fantasy writers and romance writers in the mix, but there's a good chunk who really want to write memoir.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if that's an extension of, I don't know if you remember, but certainly certainly here in the UK and I think in North America as well, there's been this real upsurging of people researching their family history. And so maybe mm-hmm. this is a sort of the second wave of that. Now we've found out all this information, we'd like to share it with others and tell the story rather than just have it left on a file somewhere.
I don't know how many ads we see every day for ancestry.ca for where I am. And, you know, going back and finding out these things about your family tree. I think that's quite true. I think people are encouraged to do that. I know my father-in-law has one side of the family back to the 1700s sometimes. So, you know,
fascinating.
Some of them are rascals. But anyhow, yeah, I think there is that. I think there is that. Maybe in times when looking forward is kind of defeating, you know, and so much is uncertain, that maybe looking back has a real fascination, finding out where I'm from.
Yeah, and giving up the sense who, of place.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm going to change tack a little bit. Okay. We've taken a trip down memory lane there, but I wonder if you could tell me about the Zwei writers from KW. Oh.
Okay. Lori Wolf Hefner is a Kitchener writer, and she's also my former grade 11 student. I taught her English in high school. And even then, I knew she was going to be a writer then, just knew. And she wanted, that was something she wanted very much. So fast forward many years, and I was the president of our local branch of the Professional Writers Association of Canada. And Laurie came to a meeting and joined, and it was like, remember me? So in the process, we met again there and reconnected. And she got to a point in her life when she decided, yeah, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to write. And she's writing a series, which is fascinating because it takes place in present day in my hometown, Kitchener, and also 100 years ago in Romania. Ooh. And it's about her ancestors and a young woman there. So there's a teen in Kitchener and a teen in Romania. And so there's a chapter on each as you go through this. So you get two stories of what's going on in each person's life. Of course, they're quite different. Mm-hmm. One is just, has just come out of World War One. The family's just come out of World War One, excuse me. And the father has gone to Canada to try and earn enough to bring them over. And then our young girl here in Kitchener, she has just come here from out west with her family because her grandfather is in the early stages of dementia and they've come to live with him and take care of him. And the girl that connects them is the grandfather's mother. So it's a great series. I think she's on book 8. So I act as her first reader. We have a meeting where we talk about the story, where she's going to go. Then she writes the outline and I go over the outline and give her my feedback. So we've been doing this for 8 books now. So her background is, even though they were living in Romania, the language they spoke was German. And so, and my community, Kitchener, used to be called Berlin. It's a very German community. It's the melting pot, but excuse me, in early days it was a very German community. So we decided we would get together and do the market circuit, so in the craft fairs, and sell our books. Right. And do that sort of thing. And we needed a banner for the two of us, and since there were two and she has the German heritage, we became the Zwei Writers. Mm. Of KW, and that's what we do. So we've done workshops together. We switched to virtual last year. We were planning to do them in person in March and April. So needless to say, they went virtual. So that's what we have done. But with COVID, we've let that go. But I think when things improve, we hope to get back to the market circuit again and the craft fairs. And there's a KW women's show that we love and other things like that, and get back to doing the workshops, because we tag team very well. She publishes independently and so do I. And I think we bring a lot as a tag team to writers. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Well, I'll circle back to that in a bit, actually, just to talk about kind of the idea of mentorship and working with somebody, either one-on-one or in a small group. Just before we do, a lot of my listeners, you know, they're new writers. They either want to write a book or they're in the process of writing their first book and coming up, you know, up against the common challenges that we all do. And the most common one is the finding the time to write, particularly those that are just on the cusp of starting. What advice do you have for new writers that might give them that boost, that something that might just get them over the lip and writing, you know, finding that time?
I think one of the roadblocks is the fact that what you're doing is really, really big. Like it involves a lot of words, and you almost get choked by that thought, like, oh my gosh, I have to produce, you know, 65,000 words to make this novel. So I think a couple of things. One that I highly recommend that I got from someone else, needless to say, is mini habits. And there's a whole book about this. I can't remember the man who wrote it, but it's called Mini Habits. And basically, you set really small goals for yourself, because when you fail something, you think, oh, I wasn't motivated enough and I wasn't disciplined enough. And you're very, very negative. And then that just breeds, like, why do it the next time? Because I'll just feel negative again. But if you set up a mini goal and achieve it, then you are motivated to keep going sometimes. So if you're mini, make, and then he means mini. So my mini goal per day might be, I'm going to write 50 words. That's it. Just 50 words. So at 10 minutes before bedtime, I can meet my goal and I can get my 50 words done. And I wake up the next morning knowing I've written 50 words and I've met my goal. So I'm not a failure. I'm a success. So the next day when I have time, and I sit down and write 50 words, I'm not going to stop at 50 words because I've got a good idea going and I'm going to write 3-4 paragraphs. Well, there's my page. So it's kind of a mind trick, but I think it helps you overcome that defeat when you don't write every day and you think, oh, how can I be a writer if I don't write every day? Mm-hmm. And I think if you set yourself a little mini goal and you write it every day, then you are a writer and you're piling success on success and words on words.
Yeah.
And I thought it was a really positive way to approach it, rather than saying, well, you need the discipline and you need the thing. One other key thing that I think writers need is forgiveness. When you don't do it that day, you know, forgive yourself. Stuff happens, especially in the last year plus. The fact that anybody's writing anything, I think, is a minor miracle.
Mm-hmm.
Because the strain and stress of just getting up every day and carrying on, it's hard to be creative when all your energy is just into, how am I going to get groceries today? And how am I going to keep my family safe? And how am I going to be safe? And how am I going to protect my mother? The fact that anybody can put a creative word on the page, I think, is a miracle. Mm-hmm. But if you put 25 words on a page or 50 words on a page, you're still honoring that creative person inside of you. And it's a little progress and you're not a failure because you did it. You met your goal. So I think that comes into it. I mean, other things I would encourage people to do is think about, and I'm sure you've probably suggested this, is for a couple of days, write down how they spend their time. You know, make a log of, oh, I just, and then you look back and you go, I spent 35 minutes playing Freecell. Now, maybe I could have spent 15 of those, you know, writing a page. Mm-hmm. And if you do the math, this is the other encouraging thing, I think. If you do the math and you type slowly, like say 35 words a minute, which was the fastest I ever got in high school on a typewriter, you can write, I got to do the math, 10 minutes, you can get a page.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
I think so, people underestimate how powerful just writing for a small amount of time is.
Yep.
I think a lot of people have this vision of a real writer, in inverted commas, who sits and writes for 3-4 hours a day. In actual fact, that's exhausting for most of us. But you can, in small bursts, get so, so much done. I'm very similar to you in that if I'm having one of those days and I really can't bear the thought of sitting down to write, but I know, you know, this is my job, I've got to do it, I tell myself, all you've got to do, Emma, is write 50 words. That's all you've got to do. And then you've made progress towards getting, you know, you've shown up, you've done your job, just do those 50 words and it all adds up. It never ceases to astound me just how much progress can be made by doing that a little bit every day or a little bit regularly, not every day, but 2-3 times a week. Yeah.
Well, I know from my own experience when I have said, oh, I've got the whole afternoon to write, I can fritter that away. I'm just a professional fritterer, I think. I mean, I don't spend 3 hours writing. I really don't. I don't have the brain for it. Like after 500 words, I have to get up and go for a walk. I got to get up and walk around. So you know, saying, oh, I've got a whole day, I'm going to, don't put so much pressure on yourself, because chances are you just won't do it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, 50 words you can do. And sometimes if you write 50, you'll keep writing the next 50 and the next 50.
Yeah.
And every 250 is a page. So.
Yeah. Well, fantastic. Great tips there. You know, the mini goals. And then the forgiveness as well, which is so important. For some reason, we're going to be very cruel to ourselves when it comes to writing. But I want to kind of circle back on what you were talking about before with Laurie and being kind of having this mentorship relationship, tag teaming, which how you described it, which was nice. And that's something I know that you offer, is you offer coaching. Do you do that internationally, or is it kind of locally or in person that you do it?
I have done both, actually. With Zoom and you know, you can talk to anybody anywhere.
Yeah.
When Laurie and I did our workshops, they were online and we had people from all across Canada join us. And we're not too sure why or how, but they were there. So we're unlimited today.
Mm-hmm.
The only challenge is you know, time zones,
yeah.
As you know,
yeah.
Calculating who's awake when and that sort of thing. But otherwise, anywhere. Mostly I've been lucky to have in person and local clients that we can meet over coffee. Mm-hmm. But now, of course, we don't.
So what kind of switched
online.
What kind of coaching do you offer? Is it one-to-one generally, or is it through the small group workshops, or what does it look like?
One-to-one. And my goal is to guide the person toward what they want. And that takes some digging sometimes, is to, you know, finding out where they really want to go with whatever they want to write, whether it's memoir or, you know, fiction. Because I think that's important. I've was reading recently, someone was talking about critique groups and how they felt that people in critique groups told you, you know, they heard your idea and then they told you how they would write it. And that was their critique. And, you know, that's not really helpful. You want to know how they think you should keep writing it, or how you could change it based on what your goals are for those characters or whatever it happens to be. So I'm very aware of doing that, of being as much in their headspace on their goals and what they see for the story as I can. But I come in at all stages. I've just worked with a person who has just finished. She has the books. She was a nurse in a summer camp. And the summer camp is, I don't know, 75 years old. So she felt, and there's no history of it, so she's written a history of this particular summer camp. And that's what, so it's nonfiction with her memories and memories of other people incorporated in this. And she just turned 91.
Wow.
So in her case, I came in and she'd written a lot of stuff, but it wasn't in the right order. And it didn't flow, and it didn't kind of, it was good information. She was a good writer. I didn't have to worry about the mechanics, but to make it flow like a story, that was my challenge with her. Another writer, she calls me when she has an idea, and she has a thing about, like, she thinks she wants to write about this and she has some ideas, and we talk. Sometimes she sends it to me and I'll send it back. And then we just talk about it. She records what we say. Mm-hmm. And it just helps her work through the story ideas and think of things that she hadn't thought of, or come at it from angles that she hadn't thought of. And that's all I do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just in on that early consult. And, you know, because you, when you've looked at an idea for so long, you stop seeing all the options.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right. I mean,
yeah.
Yeah. You go, well, there must be something else, and you just can't see it for yourself. But someone else comes in and their brain goes, oh, wow, you could do this or this. And here's an idea. And what about this side? And, you know, and that's, you just need that sort of input, and then off you can go. And that's what I do for Lori as well. She comes at me with the ideas, and then she turns them, our conversation, into an outline, mm-hmm. a very detailed outline. And then she does that. And now she's working on writing romance. So we're doing the same kind of thing. So it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And teen writers I've worked. Pardon?
Sorry, I was just going to say, I think that shows the power of having a mentor or a coach. Is sometimes it's not about the mechanics, as you mentioned. It's about the brainstorming. It's about the having someone who's as interested in your project as you are, yeah. and who will give it that depth of time and energy and kind of brain work to help you move on and get to the finish line, essentially, just to know that you're on the right track, you've got good ideas, keep going, and then someone to celebrate with at the end.
I'm the cheerleader, you know. It's my job to give them that motivation, and sometimes it's being the accountability partner, because if they know they're going to meet me in 2 weeks, then they feel compelled to produce something. You know, sometimes just having someone waiting for you is a great way to get the work done. So sometimes it's almost a matter of that, knowing that she promised that me in a month, then the material appears in a month. And that's a good thing that helps people keep, sometimes that's all they need, you know?
Yeah.
I don't get a lot into, I haven't had to, I guess I've been very lucky that I haven't had to worry about grammar and mechanics too much. Most people come with a pretty, even my young writers, I've had 11-year-olds, they know how to tell a story and write a sentence, and I give them some tips to, you know, tighten things up maybe, but for the most part they're where they should be, so it's all good.
Now tell me about you, because you are a prolific writer as well. You write a lot of nonfiction. Are you writing anything at the moment?
I have written a lot of nonfiction, and I spent most of 2020 feeling I was never ever going to have a creative idea for a story again. Just nothing, dead air. It was grim, I thought, because even though I write nonfiction, part of me says, but you know, you want to write stories, Heather, you really do. So I had nothing. It was the dead zone. And I came across workshops inspire me. So I'd seen this workshop and I thought, okay, I'm going to take that. I'm going to learn about that. And it was, writing a Hallmark style screenplay. And I don't know if you have those in the UK, but yes, you're nodding. yeah. Okay. And so I took this workshop, which is very helpful because they do have a formula, as anyone who's watched one can tell. And I thought, maybe this is the way I need to tell a story, not in prose, but in the format of a screenplay. And so I invested in software because, oh my gosh, the formatting of a screenplay is beyond coping if you try doing it in Word or anywhere else. So I invested in that, and I just finished my third.
Wow.
And it seems that this is the way I should be telling stories, because I just love every minute of it. I haven't had such joy writing in my life as I have doing this. So
that's amazing.
Never assume that anything is off the plate.
Yeah, no,
because it's
really
not.
Does, doesn't it? But it shows that, you know, as creatives, we are constantly evolving and growing and trying new things and stretching ourselves. And depending on where we are in life, something will magically appear and grab our attention, and off we go.
And you know, it's literally never too late to do that. I turned 70 in October, so it's just never too late. And I've just sent the first one out for coverage, which is screenwriting equivalent of having a professional critique it. So
watch the space.
So I'm very excited.
Well, Heather, it's been lovely chatting to you. Before we wrap up, can you let our listeners know where they could find out more about you and what you do?
I have a website. I'll spell it out. It's writingwords.com, but writing is spelled like my last name. So it's writingwords.com. And there's a ton of free stuff for writers. There's 600-700 writing prompts for, you know, to play with. There are some free templates for, you know, learning about your character, for plotting, all sorts of goodies. Oh, there's links to useful resources, which I'm going to add yours to today. I had a look at your website. I thought, this is awesome. So that's going on the web. That'll go in my resources today. So yeah, lots of free stuff.
Brilliant. Well, I'll make sure I link to that in the show notes of the podcast. My goodness, Heather, it's been flowing in our time together. I've really, really enjoyed our conversation. I can see that you love writing. You have a joy for what you do and the people you teach. So thank you for sharing some of that joy with us today.
Oh, it's been my pleasure, Emma. I really enjoyed my time here.
Well, thank you so much for joining me today. I hope you found that helpful and inspirational. Now, don't forget to come on over to Facebook and join my group, Turning Readers into Writers. It is especially for you if you are a beginner writer who is looking to write their first novel. If you join the group, you will also find a free cheat sheet there called 3 Secret Hacks to Write with Consistency. So go to emmadesi.com/turningreadersintowriters, hit join. Can't wait to see you in there. All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.